Welcome to Living Word Ministries with director and Bible teacher Debbie Blank. Each week, Debbie examines current events through the lens of end times Bible prophecies. Please visit our website for information and past programs at livingwordministry.org. Now let's open our Bibles to focus on truths from God's Word with Debbie Blank.
We're all aware of the war that the Palestinian terrorist group Hamas perpetrated on Israel on October 7, 2023, which killed 1,200 innocent people, and they still have many of the 240 hostages in the Hamas territory. But why? Do you know why they started the war? Certainly the philosophy of Hamas, as written in their charter, states the goal is to destroy Israel and wipe them out of their land. However, according to their recent reports, that's not the reason they started this war. The reason they started it had to do with cows. You heard me right, cows. That is so unusual. But what's even more unusual is they got their information from the Bible. Sounds strange? Well, it is. But it all has to do with understanding prophecies from the Bible and Jewish traditions, as well as the Hamas name for this war, which is the Al-Aqsa Flood, named after the mosque on the Temple Mount. We'll explain all of this because it probably doesn't make much sense right now. Our understanding of these cows and the war, both of which we've discussed before, but it's something that's taken on a new meaning recently.
I'm co-host Jackie Sailors. After the horrible events of October 7th and the attacks on Israel, I was surprised to hear newscasters downplay the role of religion in the conflict. I kept hearing them insist that this has nothing to do with religion, and I thought, how in the world is that even possible? If you understand the region at all, you know how fundamental those religious differences are. And the more you know about Islam, Judaism, and Bible prophecy, the clearer the basis for conflict becomes. So it just seems strange that this time, mainstream news reporters were either rejecting or mostly ignoring that. The Bible predicts that in the end times, the Jewish temple will be rebuilt on its original site, where Islam's Al-Aqsa Mosque and the Dome of the Rock currently stand. One of Islam's major goals is to do anything to keep that from happening. So now, after more than 2,000 years, the Jews suddenly acquire several extremely rare perfect red heifers, one of the previously missing keys for initiating the next temple. Shouldn't that get the attention of Muslims, Jews, news reporters, and anyone interested in end times Bible prophecy?
Well, the reality is, the news site All Israel News is the only site that I saw carry information about these cows being brought into Israel, and the only one carrying the information that we're going to share today. However, just this week, I saw a CBS Saturday morning special, which provided similar information to what we're going to share today. However, the hit piece blamed Israel for triggering the Hamas terrorist activities. Now, that's just crazy to me when you find out what it is that we're going to be sharing and why they would blame Israel for it, but they did. You see, on September 15, 2022, five cows were unloaded in the cargo bay of Ben Gurion Airport in Israel. These came from a ranch in Texas, a ranch that had been working diligently to try and inbreed purebred red heifers. And they accomplished that. So there were five delivered into Israel. These red heifers have been moved now to the city of Shiloh in Samaria, though the news media would call that the West Bank. It's a famous ancient city that housed the tabernacle for 369 years once the Jews moved into the Promised Land. It was only natural that they would be housing the red heifers because they're in an agricultural area, an area where animals are raised, but also because of the prominence of the temple. In Shiloh on July 13th, there was a special temple conference that was designed to contemplate and feel close to the divine presence that existed in the temple, end quote. So the regional council there told participants that the event, quote, emphasizes what once was and what will be once again, end quote. Meaning, of course, the building of the third temple, since they have not had, which you stated, for 2,000 years. The idea of building a temple is on the hearts of some very religious Jews, And now Hamas has picked that up.
Well, it hasn't gone over the head of Hamas. As a matter of fact, it's a very important thing when you think of how they have named their recent attack the Al-Aqsa Flood. It does point to the Al-Aqsa Mosque and the site, what we call the Temple Mount, is that site, that whole area they can refer to as Al-Aqsa. And so there's some reason that they feel like they're defending that area. Now, oftentimes they'll use that as a trigger point to defend that area. They can trigger a lot of kinds of riots and stuff. They've done that in the past. But there's a special reason for them doing that now.
The fact is that the Hamas are Palestinians. But if they start focusing on the Al-Aqsa Mosque and the threat against losing that mosque, that appeals to Muslims worldwide, not just Palestinians or Arabs, but Muslims collectively. Well, that's a lot of people, 1.6 billion people, that will take on your fight if you convince them that there's a threat to that Al-Aqsa Mosque. And that's what they've done by the name and by their actions. So what triggered this new threat? Obviously, they don't need a reason, but they have one this time because they understand that in order for the temple to be built from the Jewish tradition, from the Bible, in Numbers chapter 19, that a red heifer, purebred, unblemished, must be sacrificed. And then the ashes mixed with water to cleanse anyone or anything that's impure. Since there have been two mosques on the Temple Mount, that mount is impure right now, according to Jewish beliefs, and therefore it would have to be cleansed before a temple is built. Hamas obviously knows that because they have declared their reason for causing this Al-Aqsa flood war was because of the red heifers. Sounds silly that they started a war because of cows, but they understand the significance of the red heifers.
And that's something that's very important for us to recognize. The newscasters don't seem to have that background. It's something they certainly could look into because it is a threat, as they see it, to the fact that you might have everything that you need to rebuild the temple. In fact, they do have the blueprints for that. They have a lot of things that are prefabbed. The priests, there's 500 priests that have been designated through DNA as to being direct descendants of the high priest, Aaron. They have that now. They have the accoutrements as far as all of the utensils and the costuming and whatever that they need. But they can't build, as you said, anything on that mount if it's uncleansed. And there's a specific way that they have to cleanse it, and it has to do with having to have a red heifer.
You talk about those rituals. They actually have built a mock tabernacle down in the wilderness near Jericho where the priests are practicing the rituals, where they're planning for Passover celebrations in Sukkot and all the different feasts that the Jews celebrate. So they're ready. They just need a temple. There aren't a lot of people in Israel, including the governmental leaders, who are calling for a temple or even want a temple because most of the Jews in Israel are secular. But there are a handful of Jews that are looking into this very adamantly. Mainly, it's called the Temple Institute, which is the organization that's promoting all of this. And it is a small group of Jews, but they are there. And there's Christians around the world, too, who are watching this because we know the significance of it. If you read Numbers chapter 19, and we're not going to read the whole thing, but we're going to give you the understanding of it right here in verses 2 and 3 to start. It states, "This is the statute of the law which the Lord has commanded, saying, speak to the sons of Israel that they bring you an unblemished red heifer in which is no defect, and on which a yoke has never been placed. You should give it to Eleazar the priest, and it should be brought outside the camp and be slaughtered in his presence." And then verse 9 further explains, "Now a man who is clean shall gather up the ashes of the heifer and deposit them outside the camp in a clean place. And the congregation of the sons of Israel shall keep it as water to remove impurity. It is purification for sin." Their belief and tradition from the Old Testament is that anyone that's been impure from any number of reasons, including a death or something, needs to be washed with the water from this red heifer's ashes. And that, of course, again, means the Temple Mount before they would place a temple up there.
And so it's very specific. The site would need to be cleansed. The priests would need to be cleansed. before a temple could be built. We can talk about the rarity of the red heifer, how it has to be perfect. It can't even have two hairs that are a different color than red. There are all these specifics that have to be met. And in all of history, since the temple began till it was destroyed in 70 AD, during that time, there were only 9 red heifers that met the qualifications. And since that time, there haven't been any until recently, until these ones that came from Texas.
That's right. So let's give you a little history. There have been 2 temples built on the Temple Mount in Jerusalem. One was Solomon's Temple that was built in 961 BC and destroyed in 586 BC. Another temple was built when the Jews came back from their dispersion, from their exile. It was completed in 535 BC and destroyed in 70 AD by the Romans. There's never been another temple because until 1948, Israel did not have complete control over their land. They do now. What happened, though, when Israel became a state is the nations around them, the Arab nations, wanted all the land. They didn't just want part of it. So they went to war against Israel. When the war settled about 15 months later, Israel had more territory than they had been granted by the United Nations, but they only had West Jerusalem. They didn't have all of Jerusalem, not the east part. Well, the east part of Jerusalem is where the Temple Mount is, where the Wailing Wall is, the old city of Jerusalem. So they had no access to the Temple Mount until 1967. In the Six-Day War of 1967, they conquered the Jordanians who were fighting against them on a war perpetrated against them by the Arab nations. They conquered them. They're the ones who controlled East Jerusalem and the West Bank. And so Israel then took over the Temple Mount and East Jerusalem. But because Israel supports freedom of religion, now they don't allow you to proselytize over there, but you can freely worship over there, no matter what your religious belief. Since there were 2 mosques that had been up there for centuries, they allowed the Jordanian WAF, which is the Muslim organization that controls the Temple Mount, to remain in control of the Temple Mount and monitor their 2 mosques and allow Muslims to come up on that Temple Mount anytime they wanted to worship. Now, that really frustrated a lot of religious Jews who were so excited to have access to the Temple Mount, and then to have it cut off from them again by the Muslims was a real frustration. Fortunately, nowadays, non-Muslims can go up to the Temple Mount. We can't pray, we can't worship up there, but we can go up on certain days for a few hours on Tuesdays and Thursdays. That Temple Mount is open to us. It's also open to the Jews, but they don't like it when the Jews come up because they don't like the Jews. They want to get rid of the Jewish people. So that's the history. Right now, there's the Dome of the Rock on top of the Temple Mount and the Al-Aqsa Mosque. Dome of the Rock is ceremonial. Nobody goes in there. We had the privilege in 1996 of being able to go in there and see the rock, which is believed to be the rock where Abraham offered Isaac as a sacrifice or attempted to. But the Al-Aqsa Mosque is an actual working mosque, so no one can go in there except Muslims. Therefore, that's the mosque they protect. That's the one they use to set a fire worldwide whenever they want to cause strife in Israel.
You've laid forth some fulfillments of ancient prophecy that were fulfilled in modern time, starting with 1948 and the return of Israel as a nation back to its land. That happened. They regained the city of Jerusalem. That happened. They regained the Temple Mount. That happened. All these things can be seen as steps toward that third temple being built. So Jews can look at it as something that is a signal that the Messiah is about to return. Christians can look at it as a symbol that the Messiah is about to return. And Muslims can look at this as a direct threat to that situation that they're used to having and having protected. Now they're seeing the red heifer. That's another step where it didn't look like that was possible. And now there are 5 heifers that qualify right now to be sacrificed so that they would also have that cleansing water with the red heifer's ashes. Again, another step toward making it possible to worship on the Temple Mount.
The temple needs to be rebuilt for Jesus to return. That's what the Bible says in Revelation, but it also tells us in some Old Testament passages that there must be a temple there so that the Jews can worship again in the time of the Antichrist, but before Jesus returns. Now, religious Jews follow a ancient rabbi named Rabbi Moshe ben Maimon. He was a renowned medieval Jewish scholar. He wrote in his explanation of the mitzvah that, quote, the 10th red heifer will be accomplished by the Messiah, the King. May he be revealed speedily. Amen. May it be God's will, end quote. Clearly, that didn't happen in the Middle Ages, but they are looking for their Messiah to come when that 10th temple is built, or to build the 10th temple, however they see that. So the religious Jews have a firm heart that they need to be ready when it's time. That's why we have the Temple Institute and all the items are ready. They are ready. They just need the approval to be up on the Temple Mount. And of course, the Christians are looking for it to be rebuilt for our sake of our Messiah returning. And what a glorious time that's going to be. This is just another example of how close we are to the return of Jesus Christ. No generation since the time of the Second Temple has had access to ashes from a red heifer, because it's really hard to find that purebred red heifer, but we've got it now.
And we're not just guessing that this is a threat to the Muslims and to Hamas specifically, because there has been a statement made that that's exactly one of the triggers of the October 7th attacks.
Consider that the Al-Aqsa Mosque is believed to be the third most holy site in all of Islam due to a mythical, magical journey night that Muhammad had that took him in his dream on a unique-looking unicorn-type horse from Mecca to the Temple Mount and then back to Mecca the same night. It was a dream, but he and his followers say that it really happened. And therefore, even though they had no access to Jerusalem, Jerusalem was never mentioned in their Quran, now it became a holy site for them. So they want to keep it and as their holy site. What's interesting is the beginning of their tradition of trying to use the Al-Aqsa Mosque as a threat actually happened in 1920, where the Grand Mufti of Jerusalem, whose name was Haj Amin al-Husseini, he was a founder of the Muslim Brotherhood, and the first thing that he wanted to do was bring up the discussion of the Al-Aqsa Mosque and the possibility of a third temple. So even back then, the Mufti understood the significance of the temple, because Jews were now making aliyah to Israel before the 1920s, and he was seeing their desire to build this temple. So he began using the Al-Aqsa Mosque as a threat back then in the 20s. So he gained a support base and actually started a war against Israel in 1929, known as the Palestinian Riots, which ended with 130 Jews dead, because his mantra against the Al-Aqsa Mosque started in the 20s and continued until he fled to Germany as a friend of Adolf Hitler's and continued his anti-Semitic propaganda in Germany. The point being is the whole Al-Aqsa Mosque threat started in 1920. So whenever the Muslims want to start an intifada or some type of uprising, they just pull up that 100-year-old ancient threat, and that ignites the Muslims to want to fight against the Jews.
On January 14th, which was the 100th day after the October 7th attacks, one of their leaders said, "We look back 100 days to remember the educated, the complicit, the incapacitated among the world powers governed by the law of the jungle, reminding them of the aggression that reached its peak against our path, Al-Quds, meaning Jerusalem, and Al-Aqsa, meaning the mosque on the Temple Mount, with the start of its actual temporal and spatial division and the bringing of red cows as an application of a detestable religious myth designed for aggression against the feelings of an entire nation in the heart of its Arab identity and the path of its prophet, the night journey, and ascension to heaven." So as Debbie just described what they believe as that night journey where Muhammad was ascended into heaven from that area, he's talking about how that means so much to them and that the red heifers present a definite threat to the Temple Mount. So he's saying that that is one of the triggers. That's one of the key reasons that they started this war. And I have a quote from Zachary Emanuel who says, "If it was not the sole motivation of war, certainly it was the spark for the flame. With increasing escalation on the Temple Mount and the arrival of the red heifers, religious elements from both sides see it as a now or never situation." So what we could be having, even though some people consider it secular, a definitely a holy war type of situation.
Well, Hamas had been getting ready for this war for a long time. You don't just make that decision and do it overnight when they see the red heifers come in. They'd been planning, working with Iran, being trained by Russian and Iranian forces in Turkey as well as in Iran and in the Gaza Strip to perpetrate a war as they have started. But they were waiting for the right time and the right motivation. So when the red heifers came almost a year prior to that, that was all the motivation they needed, because they were simply following in the steps of their Grand Mufti al-Husseini. And not just him, but there are several other times in history where the Muslims have used the same Al-Aqsa Mosque threat to perpetrate problems on Israel. In the year 2000, Prime Minister of Israel, Ariel Sharon, received the approval of the Muslims, of the Jordanian Waqf, of the Muslim and Jordanian leaders, that he would be able to visit the underground tunnel that had been completed underneath the Temple Mount. Now, this is on Israeli side, but it had been opened all the way over to coming out on the Muslim side. So they all agreed he could do that. He could walk through the entirety of the tunnel and come out on the Muslim side, which he did. But the Palestinians used that as an uprising that the Jews were taking over the Temple Mount and the Al-Aqsa Mosque. And that started a huge intifada that lasted for 4 years of suicide bombings and murders and uprisings in Israel by the Palestinians and the local Muslims. So it's a flashpoint anytime they can use it. And it's not going to change. You know, the impossible situation that Israel has right now of determining, do we have a two-state solution in that land? Because if we do, the Muslims are going to continue to perpetrate attack by their perceived threats. Now, Muslims consider this a threat on their Al-Aqsa Mosque, but legally, the Temple Mount belongs to the Jews because they conquered it. Legally, the Jews had a temple up there a long time before the mosques were ever built, and they should have a right to put their temple up there, but the Muslims don't see it that way. So instead of the Jews seeing the Muslims as a threat, the Muslims are the ones who see the Jews as a threat for going up there. So it's a very complicated situation, and one of which I do not envy the leaders in having to try and make a decision as to what they're going to do with that land and with the Temple Mount. We go by the Bible, and what we know by the Bible is that there will be a temple on the Temple Mount before Jesus Christ returns. And that, by the way, can be found in Revelation 11, when it reads that there was a measuring rod, like a staff, and someone said, "Rise and measure the temple of God and the altar and those who worship in it." That tells us that there will be a temple before Jesus returns. There's a rumor going around that they have the red heifers who are ready to be sacrificed, and that they are going to sacrifice them before Passover on April 22nd this year. Now, when they sacrifice them, it has to be done in a place visible to the Temple Mount. Therefore, some people have purchased land on the Mount of Olives right across the valley where you can see clearly the Temple Mount, which means they would sacrifice them there for everyone to see, for Jews and Gentiles and Muslims alike. So people will know what's going to happen. So there's a lot that we need to be watching for in the upcoming weeks of things that could happen that could then spark another uprising of the Muslims and those who are trying to, quote, protect their Al-Aqsa Mosque. Understand that the Hamas don't believe what the Jews believe. So they do not believe that these red heifers need to be sacrificed for the ashes to cleanse the Temple Mount or anything else. But they know what the Jews believe. And that's so significant because the number one rule of war is know your enemy. Now, Hamas knows what the Jews believe and what their actions are and what they're trying to do, at least from the Jewish standpoint. And so they are using what the Jews believe against the Jews in order to instigate riots or uprisings or wars, as they've been doing.
And again, it's a minority of the Jews that are pushing for this. They may all believe this, but I think maybe the average Israeli citizen may not be aware of all of this. They're pretty secular, so they may not be into all of this, but the Orthodox really do believe it. And there is a certain segment of Christians that also believe it, like the people who were supportive of trying to get these red heifers in the first place. Those people from the United States are a group of Christians that were supportive of this as well. So it's those groups as you said, not the government of Israel at large or the citizenry of Israel at large.
And they didn't really promote the landing of the five red heifers in Israel. It's my understanding it was hard to find in any kind of news media that that was occurring. And yet the Hamas knew, because they have their ears to the ground. They know what the Jews are thinking. That's good intelligence on their part. But they just hold those in their back pocket until they need them for some time in the future to bring a mass uprising. And we believe that another reason for them instigating the war when they did, besides the red heifers, because again, they've had a year that since the red heifers came to Israel. Another aspect is because Israel was on the verge of building relationships with Saudi Arabia. And that's a threat to all the Muslims, because Saudi Arabia is where their holy sites are in Mecca and Medina. And the Muslims do not want any kind of a relationship with any Muslim country with the Jews. And yet that was on the horizon. Right now, it's on the back burner because Saudi Arabia is starting to call for a two-state solution in order to have any type of a relationship with Israel.
And you'd think if it was just about the red heifers, perhaps they could attack the red heifers, kidnap them or blemish them in some way. You wouldn't even have to kill them. They wouldn't be eligible anymore. But it's more than that. It's an excuse to trigger more war.
Yes, and the fact is that the red heifers are in Shiloh. They're actually building a place in Shiloh so that people can come visit them. We've been to Shiloh. We've seen how easy it is to build another pen or whatever they need there. So they could attack them right there, because that is the territory that the Muslims call the West Bank. Therefore, they could sneak people into there anytime and destroy them. But that's not their issue. They're just using that to incite the Muslims against the Jews. Again, I want to reiterate, the Israeli government has never indicated at any time that they are wanting to take over that Temple Mount to build a temple. Never once. This is a small group of Jewish leaders, and yet that's what the Muslims are using for their threats and their uprisings. The imagery of the red heifer is just one of the many biblical examples or the foreshadowings of the sacrifice of Jesus Christ for our sins. If you think about it, Jesus was without blemish. He was sacrificed. It happened outside the camp. All of those are examples of Jesus. Plus, the blood of Jesus, who saved us from our sins, is red. And these are red heifers. So there's a lot of symbolism we see there. But the most important thing is simply what the Bible says about the cleansing of anything that's been unclean and that Jews are following. Since the Jews don't accept Jesus as their Messiah, they still believe and practice these Old Testament practices. So we should be aware of them. We need to know what the Bible says and what the Jews are practicing, as well as understanding how they fit into Bible prophecy, because very few people are talking about this. So we can know how close we are to the return of Jesus Christ. And then the more we know that, the better we can live in anticipation of the return of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ.
Thank you for joining us today on Living Word Ministries with Debbie Blank. This is a listener-supported show. If you'd like to support this program or contact Debbie Blank, you may do so at P.O. Box 540-003, Omaha, Nebraska 68154, or visit our website at livingwordministry.org. Please tune in each week at this same time for Living Word Ministries with Debbie Blank.